listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers Series 2025. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Catul Teixeira, whose work Arabenta Sao, Zona da Derrama, Last Chapter, was invited to this year's Attention series. Catul told us how close their way of choreographing is to their actual way of living, why they choose to work with close friends, and what it means to them to choreograph emotional zones. And Catul talked about how not planning a lot but following instincts can bring you to places. My name is Almut Kriese, and it was my pleasure to chat with Catul. Well, then, welcome, Catul.
Yes.
We're back at the pop-up exhibition, the pop-up archive at Mumok Museum. And today I'm here with Catul Teixeira, if I pronounce this sort of correct. You were born in Porto Alegre, and you lived some time in Rio de Janeiro, and now you live in Switzerland. You have an education in circus and in ballet and also in contemporary dance and quite some oeuvre by now. And I was wondering what was some oeuvre of work. You've done quite a lot of pieces already. And I was wondering, how was this change? How did the dancing teenager in Rio become the professional choreographer in Geneva?
I don't see everything coming, actually. I also am not a very good planner, so I think I move through desire, but I don't really shape it all the time. So in a way, I always knew I would need and wish to dance, and I think life was giving me some forms of how to do it, and then I was molding it with my hands, let's say. So, yes, I think I start dancing and I didn't stop dancing. I don't see myself not as a dancer, even if I'm guiding choreographies. I think the dancer presence is often there. I love to imagine the dancer as a working labor type of position. And then I would say the guiding or the choreographing comes as a consequence of conviviality as well. And I mean, always, I think we are always in negotiation with what is given or structural access or things like that. So when it starts to have some conversations or calls for me to elaborate my own work, I decided to listen to that, but it was not a big plan.
No plan, but anyways, it turned out really well. That's best case scenario, I would say. You were invited to come here to show your piece. Okay, I have to read this because it's hard for me. Yes. It's called Arrebenta Sao, Zona de Derrama, Last Chapter. The title hints that there had been earlier chapters. Would you quickly explain what were the first chapters?
So it started with a trio outside for a moment of twilight. So they change between the day and the night. And again, it was also a conversation with access that was coming. So I felt that I wouldn't like to run after production or producing something faster than what I could be able to handle. So in a way, the fact of being separated, it was more connected to production than actually to an artistic desire at first. So I decided to start with Luara Hayo and Auguste Bourcetti, that are very close friends of mine and also accomplices, I think, of what we can do with dance. So it's also a continuation of, I would say, language, maybe, or like practices, like we also feed each other, and collaboration is very dear to me, even though I don't know how to explain, but it's very important. They all have their own works and we talk about it as well. So the very first chapter, it was this piece for the outside. It was premiered in Nyon. It's a small town between Geneva and Lausanne, in a festival that have a lot of things outside called Far. And we stayed there for 2 or 3 weeks and came up with this piece, which came up out of like exercise, improvisations and living together. Because I think there is a lot of conviviality in the way that I perceive choreography. And it comes from that as well, that a lot of things that came up in the work was actually how we were joking between us, or how we were taking care of each other, or how we were also not agreeing about things. So I think there is a big listening on that choreography way, like you listen to what is coming there and then you give space for it to appear. So I think the first chapter was a lot just that also, like us three outside, a lot of practices were starting to take form on that moment, and then we deepen or we expanded the understanding of it through arrebentação. And then, bon, derrama, it's like almost similar to transboarding or overflowing, but not exactly, because derrama is also an accident. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to get on this place of when things accidentally drop out of something and how you deal with. And arrebentação is precisely the moment when it really explodes or it breaks down, or and then you need to understand either you wait or whether you cross, but somehow you cannot really just confront it because it can hurt you. Voilà. So it has this continuation.
Arrebentação, it's the moment when a wave breaks, right? It has to do with the sea and with the flow and the coming back and back and again. So it has this continuation as well. So that already answers a bit what I was about to ask next. What was the beginning of the piece? Because it was the invitation to do a piece for this outdoor festival.
I could have chosen whatever I wanted to do. But then when the project was selected for a founding in Switzerland, mm-hmm. I felt I want to invite people to be with me, actually. Because I think, I do believe that all are shaped also by the conditions that you have access. Like if you do a group, if you do a solo, if you do outside, inside, you know, like I don't know, maybe it's also if you have access, I don't know, but even if you have access to everything, it's going to shape your statics all the time, you know. Like, I also come from somewhere else where it's funny, but you also have a lot of groups, but then you don't have the same type of privilege accesses for structure. So it's a very, I think these things are often in conversation. So yeah, it was outside because the place was outside. And I was like, I cannot arrive to a festival that has mostly this type of conditions and try to do a black box there. You know, I often negotiate with, okay, this is the condition of this place and it's going to for sure influence the aesthetics and the poetics and everything, so the work. So when we were there, we were just like, it's summer, outside is beautiful, let's be outside.
How did you then evolve, or how did this piece evolve to the next chapter? It's more people, it's inside now. How was this process going, the development from one to the next chapter?
So I knew I wanted also to use lights and be inside of the theater. I don't have exactly a problem with the theater place. I think I love the magic that can happen inside as well, but I just know that it's not the only condition to do work. Voilà. But I think it's one of the conditions, and it's one thing that I wanted to do. So I invited more people, because then it came someone new for the sound, and then, which is Klaus Clay and Louis Labate to do the light. And then we started, and then I would like to continue to research this thing of my memory of being suspended, because I study a lot of the aerial things. So I invited a rigger, so a technical person, to be with us to understand how to hold the ropes for the theater room, because on the circus is normally a tent and it's really not a question. It's so easy, you go up and you plug your things, but inside of the theater is always a little question about hanging a human body. So we became a big team, and also because we were wondering a lot about how to move in spaces. So the questions of when you are a team of most people are trans and non-white, there is also a question about how you move around certain spaces. So it became a big team. But I'm escaping from your question. which was how we arrived to this habitation. Yeah. It's funny because it gets lost sometimes how things, they arrive, you know, which I think has to do with the nature of an habitation, even, which is like you just see it, the forces negotiating and they break down. Mm-hmm. Voila. And they build a poetic in front of you. But I think for sure what happened is that the first chapter was a big place of study, I would say. It was, for me, very like pretty much understanding what is it about choreography when I need to guide someone? What is it that there is a transmission? What is this that there is not a transmission? What is this that you pay attention to see when things are manifested? Voilà.
Yeah, and it was your first group piece.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's also why we started with three. I always knew it was five, yeah. But we started with three because I was not sure I could guide five people.
Yeah.
So I was like, and Luara, Hayo and August were very close friends, but they didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. So I also thought maybe I can put my body as a inter, I don't know, inter what? inter as a connector, I don't know. Because I had a lot of intimacy with both of them from different lives, let's say. And then, and then I invite them at first, but I always knew that we would be five.
Yeah.
Voilà.
And then something I was wondering as well while watching was, or I assumed that the music was not made afterwards, but that the music developed within, like parallel with the choreography. It was a back and forth.
With sound, I am fascinated with. I always joke that actually my dream was to be a sound artist, but I didn't manage, so I became a dancer. But I have this thing with sound that I find so amazing. And I also see that it's very connected with dance, because it's this thing that is very concrete. It touches your feelings, but actually it's invisible, and I'm fascinated with that. So I'm always listening soundscapes when I'm dancing, actually. I'm always touching sound, let's say. And this doesn't mean that I sing. I don't think my voice is horrible. But not only that, like I don't have a thing with speaking while I improvise. I don't have this thing. I think there is a whole research in the dance about that. But then I'm always listening, and I read a lot of poetry, and I think I start to share this a lot with Clay. Mm-hmm. We are also close in Geneva. We belong to the same scene, or the same nightlife, or the same community of queer.
And Clay is the musician.
Clay is the musician. Mm-hmm. So we start to share references, but we were already close somehow. the work made us to become more close, but we knew each other already. And I used a piece of work from them for a first solo that I did, call it Lapu. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew his soundscape already, and I dance a lot of their DJ sets. So when I invite them to do, I share those references that we were navigating around. I have a lot of references about listening, so it comes together. And we start to improvise with a sound that they have a live set that they do in several different spots and concerts and museums, that it's called Goddess Change, which is based in Octave Butler. That's a big research that they have. And we start to dance on this set. So the first movement material that we start to activate was trembling. And I was organizing that we would do a trembling session together, touching each other, through these 39 minutes of sets from Clay. So the first meeting with Clay was not in person, it was through their sound. Yeah. So we were doing this, and we keep doing this sometimes before the show. It became really the practice that we revisit several times. And then it became also a reference for them about what type of material we were using for them to create a sound. And then they started to come. We did some cafes, me and them, like talking. I was sharing some videos, and yes, and then they became present. But it was not since the beginning. Okay. Like, first residency, we did just the five of us.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, one question that I actually ask all the artists is, mm-hmm. and it's a hard one, I figure, but could you give a very brief summary of what is happening on stage? Mm-hmm. So what did we see there in Vuk?
You can see five bodies merged into each other and being taken and taking once at the same time, simultaneously agreeing and disagreeing and trying to move through the space. While we welcome the audience in. So the thing starts by how we agree and disagree at the same time we take care of each other, and how do we open this spiral that we're going to be sucked into during 36 minutes. So after that, we start to be sucked by something that we don't know, and we keep looking at the opposite direction of what is sucking us. And in this moment, people have different moments of listening. So someone listens to the voice of a fairy. Someone gets stuck with the trembling and cannot go out of it. Someone puts fire on the floor, and we stay there. And then after, we produce wind. And then we find a moment of agreeing. And while we find a moment of agreeing, we also break the wave that we need to break, and then we for the first time address what we need to address in that night for the different people that are in the audience with us, and so doing the work with us in this day. So we finish the work giving it back and taking it back.
It sounds very poetic, and it touches something that so many people told me when I was asking them about how they liked the piece or what they experienced. I think almost everyone I talked with said that they were extremely emotionalized by the piece. And that's not an answer I get so often. So can you explain that, or do you have an answer on what makes it so emotional to watch you five on stage?
I have studied with some people that works a lot with states. To name some of them, like Maria Scaroni, Meg Stewart, Marcelo Evelin. I was a student of them. Sarah Shelton, man. Paulo Mantuan, anyway. And these people, they work also with states, with body states or things like that. And when I got in touch with that, I think I was curious. I said, like, ah, this is a type of material I would like to choreograph with, which is, you don't choreograph only the movement or the cartography of the space, but you choreograph the emotional zones. That's why zone came into the room, because I was wondering how those forms also make us feel, and what we feel take a form. So I think this is there since the beginning, because it's really a choreographic material that interests me. But then I've more like directly to the point, we are playing with grieving in the piece. We are playing with what is impossible to solve. We are playing with some struggles of being there, of being sometimes too visible, but then also learning that you also come out to play, so you become visible. And the solution is not to get invisible. So I think there is a lot of our own emotions and our own questions about what does it mean to be who we are, so trans people, non-white people, also performing certain stages, and how we get looked at, how we move to places, how we migrate. A lot of people have migration even inside of Brazil in the team. And I think we carry that and we dance with it. Mm-hmm. And we don't pretend to solve it. And I think this can maybe get a bit emotional also for us, because in between us we also have those questions, we know, as friends. Mm. And we fail, and I think we're like, okay, we are failing about that, but then we dare to be there, you know, like, is it love something that remains, or is it love something that actually solves something? So I think, yeah, I think we are pretty much all of us really in love with what we do, and at the same time struggling a lot to do what we do, because imperialism and colonialism, you know, like, very directly, it's like, how do you do something you love, and then, you know, like, how do you negotiate with those things? So I think we are emotional when we perform, because we are dealing with that, and with love, and with family, and with migraine, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's just some very big topics, of course. Oh. But still, I find it impressive how that gets transferred on so many levels. I don't know if I mentioned that in the beginning, but the Attention series, it's a collaboration between the Impulse Dance Festival and the network Lifelong Burning. Impulse Dance invites you to show your work, yes, and we invite you to actually stay here, yes, to have this residency. Yes. And I'm curious how you used the time here. Give us a little insight how you spent your time in Vienna, please. Yes.
So we arrived earlier. I arrived really earlier, I would say 6 days before, which is quite early for a festival to have time to land in the city. And Luara Caio arrived also the same day as me, and the others arrived 2 days after us. And we had days in a studio to re-encounter and retune in between us. We were not necessarily rehearsing the piece, but we were doing things together inside of the studio, doing some practices and learning how to move in Vienna, or how to not to move. So we were just hanging there and also rehearsing, but like a lot, like re-encountering, because we spent 5 months without touching the work. So it's also a thing, because as is a work that has a lot of space that is open for what we talked before, what's going on on your feelings. It's nice that we can bounce a bit. Otherwise the choreography also might get a bit blah, because we were working with those materials. Yeah. So we enjoyed the days before in the studio and studying back the piece and changing some stuff, because also it's constantly, I think Life Arts is constantly finding new tunes. Mm-hmm. All the time you revisit a piece, I think there is something else that appears. So we also change some stuff. Like that, I mean, we kind of knew a lot, but I don't know if it was so visible. But yeah, that's what we did. And now I'm staying and I'm enjoying the festival and meeting people and being around.
So you're not in a studio now, but you're in the festival,
yes,
doing workshops, seeing pieces.
Yes.
Have you seen any other attention pieces?
Yes, I saw. Yeah.
I'm bad with names, but I saw almost everything, I think. I'm going to see tonight also a piece by Yusuf, but I saw in the day that I arrived by Olivia and Lisen, mm-hmm, but I forgot the title of the work because also five people.
It's Dunkle.
Dunkle.
Yeah.
This was beautiful. I was very happy to arrive with that work.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I also watched Martina, then I... What more there was? Then... I watched The Gush is Great, and then I dive into the rehearsals. Then we went to the theater.
Yeah.
Yes, and I saw funny connections also between the works, which is always interesting.
Yeah. What were the connections you saw?
I mean, Gush is Great, for example, they move slow in front. We have this movement of being, but it's funny because it's connected, but it's very different because we are not coming towards, we are going opposites. Yes. And also like the movement that we are sucked. So the moment that we move it slow, we are going towards our back,
yeah,
and they are coming towards the front.
Yeah.
So I was like, funny. And also in a line, which we finish, I have been to some also in a line,
yeah,
trying to find synchronicities and desynchronicities, and they also play with that.
Yeah.
And I would say with the work with Martina, also this aspect of having materials that you play with, like queer vibe, let's say, queer affection, or playing with reference of techniques that are not exactly in the piece, but there are memories of, or ritual kind of prayer that we also play with a bit, like thinking about ceremony or a prayer. And the five people piece, I also saw five people on stage, and like we don't work with voice at all, but there was also something more slow or more somatic or more emotional as well, I would say. Anyway, I was like, it's funny how we tune in also in the subconsciousness sometimes.
All right, and then since we do all the recordings now within very short time,
mm-hmm,
because all the attentions, it's, yeah, they had been towards the end of the festival, so it was really one interview after the other. But anyways, they're going to be released, we start end of September, beginning of October, and then one per week until probably around Christmas. So when this is going to be released... We're a couple of months ahead from now. Can you give us an idea of what you will be doing then?
So I'm going with the first chapter of this work to Brazil for the first time. I was always an interpreter there, so it's the first time I will share my work. And we're going to dance in São Paulo and in Porto Alegre. In São Paulo, the Pianão de Dança, and in Porto Alegre, in Sena. Which is gonna be a thing. I'm gonna meet people from my family that I don't see for 10 years.
Wow.
Yes. And so I'm going there, and then in October I'm back, and then I will be mostly in Geneva, but mostly working in research and teaching workshops. And in December I go back to Brazil and I spend 6 months there.
Wow.
Yes, I start the next production. We're gonna start there. With 10 people.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, that sounds really exciting to actually have that much time to spend there and then start to work there. Is there anything you can tell us already about this piece, or is it too far away? You want to?
Mm-hmm.
I never feel it's far away. Which is also funny sometimes, because I have a hard time, maybe that's why I have a hard time to answer some questions, I have a hard time to see things starting and things ending. But I start to understand that it perhaps is because I always see pieces as a consequence of something. So I don't really see it when it started. So when people, when did you start? And I'm like, it already started. But it's not abstract, it's real, you know, like there's something that is always just cooking somewhere. Mm-hmm. And also, I think the works, they bring up things that are conditioning and bringing questions or imagination that are going to be dealt with in the next work. Mm-hmm. So in a way, like, we are going to be the whole people that are inside of a habitação with more people coming in. So it's like, okay, there is a continuation of something that we already start. And I think with time, practices start to be more sharp also. So the way that we access the universe that we are building together with all the involved artists in this project, it becomes more, it's not precise, but it becomes more tangible. So this thing, this practice of being circuit, the play with the eyes, the synchronicity, the synchronicity, you know, like the language also started to be more magical. Like the enchantment becomes a bit, you start to learn. Like the work teaches you what is it about, actually. So in a way, we're going to recontinue, I think, the arrebentação. We're also going to work a lot about the mouth and tongues and teeth and voila, maybe the speechless or the impossible translations of things, because we don't have a common language in the team.
You don't have any common language?
No.
Exciting.
Yeah. Like, you have people that can speak the three languages, the French, English, or Brazilian Portuguese, but you don't have one that everybody speaks.
Yeah, wow. But you can speak with your bodies, I assume. All right. Is there anything you want to add or any topic that I didn't speak about right now? Because otherwise I would say thank you very much, Kandel. Thank you for taking your time. Thank you for showing your work. And I hope you enjoy your last days here in Vienna and everything that's coming up next.
I will. No, to add is just to thank you also for hosting that and to listen my type of Pisces conversation.
What a pleasure.
Thank you very much. You have been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers series. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Deezer, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.